grumbling and complaining so much, but anyway, I do have a few aches and pains, and I'm tired. We had a big family weekend with our family. Our daughter and son-in-law is here with us this morning, and I told him I would not go much over an hour and a half or so, and but we had all of our family and our grandchildren and everything, and you know, and grandma and grandpa's got to stay up with all those kids, and for some reason they just run to grandpa a lot and jump in my arms and want me to hold them, tote them, and all those things. And so we had a wonderful, wonderful weekend and with our family, and we're still enjoying our son-in-law and daughter that's with us, and we're grateful to have them and grateful to have y'all here today. Isn't God good? God's blessing is so good. And so anyway, as we share together this morning God's word, I'm going to be reading from the Romans, the 8th chapter, and I'll be reading their voices 14 through 18. And I'd like to maybe just go ahead and read those scriptures this morning, Romans, the 8th chapter, and then I'd like to lead us in a prayer. Romans 8, begin with verse 14, and down through 18. And the scripture reads, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage against to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heir and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Amen and amen. May we pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word, and we just thank you that we belong to you, and God, that you have purchased us with a price, and God, just to know that we can rest our souls and rest our hearts in you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to know that, dear God, that as they say today, I got this. Lord, you always got it. And we thank you, Lord, that when we don't, you do. And Lord, I just pray today that you would just draw every heart near to you, that you, as we share this word and share your message, that you may encourage us, Lord, for your word, and just bless us for your word, to know that, dear God, that we belong to you, and how, Father, you desire to bless us when we're going through the difficult times and the struggles or whatever it may be in life, whatever stage we are, to know that, dear God, you got this. And we can rest our hearts and our souls in you and just trust in you. Lord, that we can just turn it all over to you. And sometimes we fret and we worry and we struggle and we do all kind of things in our own strength. But Lord, help us to know that it's not by our strength and, Lord, not by our power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. God bless today, minister today, and bless this word, I do pray, as we ask it in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen and amen. As I was thinking, as the choir was singing and the songs that we sang this morning, and the song that Cynthia sang, that I hope you know that this is a church that lifts up the name of Jesus. And that's our message here, is Jesus. I don't know if there's any greater message that we could ever have than to preach Jesus and to live Jesus, to share Jesus and to love Jesus. And, you know, it's Jesus, 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 my friends. And when you have him, you have everything in the world that you need. And so I hope you to know that. If you're here, our guest today, to know that this is a church that loves the Lord Jesus, loves people, and loves this community, and they love Jesus to lift up his name. And so he's our hope, and he's our strength, and he's our answer to everything, isn't he, if we just trust him. But this morning I want to ask a question that seems maybe kind of strange, but introducing the message is, who are you? Who are you? And sometimes we get that, people ask us that question, who we are, and immediately we think about, a young man came to our house yesterday, a stranger next door, couldn't get in the house next door, and so we just got to be friends with our strange people that was visiting us next door to our house, and just welcoming into the house, gave them some cold water and that kind of thing. And first thing that you begin to ask is, who are you? You know, what do you do? You know, where do you work at? You know, and those type of things. And a lot often we tie who we are with what we do, and maybe where we're from, and maybe who we belong to and that type of thing. And so we tie those things. And it seems like to me that this day and time, even more so than when I was growing up, that people are having a really problems with identity and knowing who they are and really being who they are and living who they are. And they have struggling with that. Well, that happens so often, and this message is for me today as I was preparing for this, that it happens so often in the Christian faith that we as Christians sometimes, we forget who we are. We forget who we are and to whom we belong. And it makes every difference in the world in our everyday life that we just remember who we belong to and who we are. And we sometimes forget that we don't really deeply understand and appreciate who we are as a child of God. And I want to say that again. We don't sometimes deeply understand and appreciate the things that we are in Jesus and who we are in Him and that we belong to Him. And so this morning I was reading a story about this guy, this seminary professor. Him and his family was on vacation, like our pastor is, and they were on vacation in Tennessee, and they were eating at a restaurant for breakfast, and as they were eating, they saw this elderly gentleman, very distinguished looking, walking from table to table, speaking with people, shaking people's hands, and you know, talking with them a little bit, and the seminary professor was saying to himself, I hope he don't come over here. I want to eat my breakfast in peace and go on with my family. And sure enough, here he comes. You know, he comes to the table, and the guy stuck out his hand and says, how y'all doing today? And says, where y'all from? And the guy says, well, we're from Oklahoma. Well, what do you do? Well, I'm a seminary professor. Oh, seminary professor, you teach preachers how to preach, do you? He said, well, I reckon so. He says, I got a good preacher story. And at that point, he pulled up a chair and sat down, you know. And the seminary professor says, you know, I just don't want to hear a preacher story. I've heard enough of preacher stories in my life. And he says, let me tell you, he says, you see out that window there, and he's pointing at the window in the front of the restaurant. He says, you see that mountain there? He said, yeah. He says, well, at the foot of that mountain, he says, a little boy grew up there. That was fatherless. He didn't know who his father was growing up, and as growing up as a child, everybody in that small community always knew about everything and about everybody, and people would ask him, son, who's your daddy? He says, I was always so embarrassing to that little boy, and he just didn't know how to respond, and it wasn't long that he just began to kind of withdraw from people because he was afraid that they were going to ask, well, son, who's your daddy? And so a new preacher had started in the church where he attended, and he made it a habit as he went to church to go and sit in the back and get out before the benediction was pronounced and shared, and where nobody would not ask him the question, son, who's your daddy? And so that Sunday, the preacher preached, he said, and he was telling the seminary professor, he preached, and he ended his benediction faster than the little boy could get out, and so he had to go out with the crowd. And as he was going out, the preacher, you know, put his hand on his shoulder. He says, son, he says, who's your daddy? And at that point, the preacher could see that everything kind of melted down in the little boy. Everybody around him got really quiet. And the preacher, sensing what was going on and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, says, I know who you are. He says, I can see the resemblance in your face. You are a child of God. And at that, he patted a little boy on his head. He says, son, he says, you have a great heritage. Go and make the best of life. And so he looked at the seminary professor and he says, wasn't that a good story? Isn't that a good story? He said, yes, that was a good story. At that, he got up to walk out and he turned around and he looked at the professor. He says, you know, I suspect if that preacher hadn't patted me on the shoulder that day, he says, son, you are a child of God. I probably would have never amounted to much in this life. So he walked on out the store, and after a while, the preacher called the waitress over who was getting ready to give him their ticket, and he said, who was that guy? He says, oh, everybody knows him. says, that's Ben Hopper. He's the former governor of Tennessee. Who are you? We are somebody, aren't we? And God makes us somebody. This scripture here this morning, I want you to hear some things that I think the Holy Spirit's laid on my heart, that we need to understand where our identity lies in life. It's not so much in who we are and what we do and the things that we do and the things that we accomplish, the things that we acquire in life. That's not who we are, you know. Who are you? And we lose sight of that, of who we really are in our hearts and our lives, and we need to understand that we have an identity. The scripture here talks about our identity in Jesus. And so it says there in verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage against to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, isn't that wonderful? The Lord Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, he says that he has the power, as many as would receive him, to them gave he the power to become a child of God. First John, the third chapter, tells us, beloved, what manner of love is this that God has bestowed upon us, that we are called sons of God, children of God. That's powerful. Our identity is in Christ, and I want you to hear that this morning, that it's not in necessarily the things that we have, and the things that we do, and the things that we acquire in life, and where we work, and doing all this stuff, but who we are. Our identity is found, and only found, in God. So you can search all your life, and you can become all kind of different things, and you can do all kind of different things. You can accomplish all kind of different things, but if you don't know who you are, you're going to struggle. Because we have an identity. And the first thing I want you to hear that you know, when I was a teenager growing up, you know, we used to always hear the little saying was that God never created any junk, that you're no junk. And that always kind of stuck with me, that we are created, God created all of us. The Bible says that he created us all in his image. And that makes us somebody. That makes us somebody because God created us and created us in his image. How beautiful is that? But this scripture goes a little deeper in that, because our identity goes beyond that. Not only is our identity found in our Creator who made us, but our identity is found in our relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Did y'all hear that? Our identity is linked with him by our relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the scripture points that out here. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that they are the sons of God. That we become the heirs and joint heirs. This is my oldest daughter. I won't tell her how old she is, but she don't look very old, and nor does her husband. And we love them so much. But I'm always thankful. I have three girls. And they always call me daddy. I'm daddy to them. It's not father or whatever. You know, it's daddy. And that's a term of affection, isn't it? That they feel that close to me. I feel that close to them. We feel that love that's always been there, that unconditional love. And so no matter what, they can always call me daddy, and that makes me feel good to know that I'm their daddy. Well, my grandchildren now, they call me granddaddy, and that's what they call me. They don't call me papa, or they call me granddaddy, and that's very special to me. Well, here the scripture tells us that we can call God daddy through his Son, Jesus. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, like, the personal relationship and the close relationship that I have with my children and my family, and them calling me daddy, and we have that bond. God wants us to have that kind of bond and relationship with him, that we know him so well, and he knows us, and he loves us so much that we can call God our father, our daddy, that we belong to him. And that is our identity. And if you don't know that, my friends, you don't know who you are yet. If you don't have an identity tied with God through His Son Jesus, you don't know who you are. You just kind of, you're going to always rumble through life, missing the most important thing of who you are and why you were created. And I wanted to bring that out in the message that we were created for purpose. We was created for purpose, and our identity is in that purpose and who we are. The Scripture tells us, I like Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, where it speaks about by God's grace through faith that we're saved, not of our works, but it's a gift of God, at least anyone should boast. And so it's God's gift. Let me just say something about that grace this morning. I want you to hear this too, that as a child of God, God wants to bless you with His favor. That's what that word grace means, favor. God wants His favor on you. God wants the very best for you and this life, but it's only found in Him and your relationship with Him. And so He blesses us with His favor, but He goes on to tell us in verse 10, He says, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so what the Scripture is telling us there, that we have purpose, that God saves us to have a relationship with Him, to find our identity with Him. And in that identity, He gives us purpose. And the main purpose is what we've been doing this morning, is just giving glory to God, lifting up the name of Jesus. And He wants our lives to glorify Him. He wants everything about our life to glorify Him and to lift Him up at home, at work, or wherever we may be, in school, wherever we find ourselves in life. He wants our lives to bring glory and honor to Him. So He's created us for a purpose. That's our identity, and we need to know that. We need to know what our purpose is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we're created for a purpose. But also the Scripture tells us that in our identity, especially as the body of Christ, as a child of God, that God places us in the body as a child of God where He wants us. Now, first of all, you need to hear that as a child of God, you're part of the family of God, right? And God's placed you in the family where He wants you. We've had the blessing and privilege to be over to our sister churches for several Sundays and preaching there at Supply Baptist, and they've received a new pastor, and I know that they're so thankful and excited for their new pastor that's come there, and I'm thankful and grateful for them as well. But just going there and places that we go, and the places where Becky and I have pastored over the years, from Wilmington to Baltimore and to, you know, around Fayetteville area and to back to Wilmington and then here, we always sense and feel that we're part of the family of God. That we feel that love, you know, that's within the family. And you know, Rodney and Cynthia, they're good Baptists, but, you know, they come from the Pentecostal background. And Rodney actually grew up in my sister-in-law's home church, First Pentecostal of Wilmington. And his parents grew up there, and Rodney grew up there, and Cynthia grew up in Pentecostal church up in Wallace. And that's all right, Cynthia. But what I'm saying is, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and her mom and daddy, as well as that church, you just sensed that you were a part of them, that you were a part of the family of God. And I just enjoyed seeing them. You could just feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. And you just felt that you were a part of that family. Folks, that's the greatest feeling in the world, that to know that you're a part of something that is so great and that you're a part of the family. Our identity is in that, but He puts us in the body where He wants us. And the scripture puts it, you know, it says that He places us there where He desires for us to be and to be in that and to be a part of that body. It says, but now have God set the members of every one of them in the body as it pleases Him. So we need to realize that our identity as an individual, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is found in Jesus, and is found in following Him and knowing His purpose for our life and glorifying Him and serving Him and living out our place that God has placed us in the family, in the body of Christ. We have identity. So I want you to hear this morning that you have identity. Will you hear that? Say that, I have identity. and it's in Jesus. Amen and amen. We have an identity. But the scriptures not only speaks of our identity, it speaks of our inheritance. Our inheritance. I wrote down, it says, you are somebody because you have identity in Jesus. When you are a child of God, and let me kind of back up a little bit with that first part, that we all are created in God's image. That we all are created in His wonderful image, and He loves everyone just as much as He loves the next person equally. God has an unconditional love for every person. But you're not a child of God if you're not related to God through His Son, Jesus. The way we become, the scripture says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that these are the sons of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. In other words, He's in us. We can feel Him. We can experience Him. His power at work in our life. You can cry. You can rejoice because you feel the power of God at work in you and your life every day, wherever you're at. You become a child of God only through His Son, Jesus. You can only be an heir with God only through His Son, Jesus. You become not just an heir, but a joint heir, a co-heir with Jesus. And I'm going to elaborate on that right here, that we have an inheritance. And because of our inheritance, that makes us somebody. That I know of, I don't have any rich uncles or aunts, or I don't have any rich people in my family whatsoever that I know of. If I do, they've never left me anything. No, I did recognize one time we got a letter from Spain saying that I had an uncle there that had passed away and wanted to leave us some money, that we need to send them our checking account and that type of stuff where they can put the money in the bank. You know. Roten is such an unusual name, you know. So anyway, as far as I know, we don't, even Becky and I, we check that thing on the North Carolina line where you can go and check and see if you got any money that you don't know about. Well, we checked it. We ain't got no money. We just don't. And, of course, I would never buy a lotto ticket so I didn't win that $1 billion or whatever that's been won this past week and all that stuff. And I wouldn't want it anyway, to be honest with you folks. But I have a greater inheritance than that. Did you hear that? In Christ, we have a greater inheritance than anything that this life can ever give us or anybody could ever give us or lead to us. We have a greater inheritance in Jesus. And the scripture talks about that there. He says that we're heirs. Again, that verse 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage but you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And verse 17 says, for if we are children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. So we have an inheritance. I want to just talk to you a little bit that we have our identity in Christ, but we have our inheritance from Him because of our identity with Him. Do y'all hear that? Because we are the sons or daughters of God, the children of God, we have an inheritance through Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We're joint heirs with Him, but the Bible says also we're heirs with God. And so as we think about that in Christ, we inherit eternal life. You can't buy that. There's not enough money in this world to buy eternal life. It's a gift of God. You have to receive it. You have to receive His gift into your heart and your life, and it's God's gift. You can't buy it. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You never can be good enough to enter in heaven, because the Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none that's righteous. There's no righteousness in us except the Jesus that lives in us. And so we're heirs with Him, and a part of that is having eternal life. This is what it tells us there in Hebrews. It says, For this cause He, the mediator, talking about Jesus, of the New Testament, the new will, the new covenant, if you will, God's made a will out with you and I through His Son Jesus. It's a new one. And so he's the mediator of it. It says that by means of death. Let me read that again. For this cause is he the mediator of the New Testament, or the new covenant, the new will. That means by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that we were under the first testament, which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, where there's a will, is there must also the necessity of the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men's death, otherwise it has no strength at all where the testator lives. The scripture goes on to say that it's by the blood of Jesus that we're saved. Without the shedding of blood, there is no salvation. And so Jesus is our tester. He's written out a will, and we have, the scripture says there, that we have an eternal inheritance. We have an eternal life. First Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundance mercy has begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance." Listen, this is your inheritance. "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Isn't that beautiful? In other words, we have an inheritance that's eternal, but that we don't have to ever worry about it fading away. We don't have to ever worry about not having enough, because we have enough in Jesus. When you have the Lord Jesus, my friends, you have everything that you will ever need in this life. When you have him, you will not have life apart from him. You will not know who you are and have an identity apart from him. You will never know your great heritage and the inheritance that God desires to give to you through his son Jesus if you fail to trust him. Our inheritance is eternal life. But also, as an heir and joint heir with Christ, we inherit spiritual blessings. Now, that eternal life is a spiritual blessing, but there's more beyond that. And I want to just read some of that to you and just share a little bit with you. And 1 Corinthians tells us this. It says, "But as it is written, eyes have not seen," this is one of my favorite verses, "eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Isn't that powerful? In other words, we cannot comprehend with our understanding all that God desires to give to us each and every day, not just when we get to heaven, but right now. And so there are spiritual blessings that God desires to give us and to bestow upon our lives. Ephesians talks about that. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according to as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy without blemish before him in love, having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure and his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved," talking about Jesus, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after his counsel and his will." Now, I just wanted to just stop there and just say, folks, it's God at work in us. Our identity is found in him, and apart from him, you will never know that. You will never know God's good pleasure and God's will and purpose for your life. You will never experience those things that the mind can never comprehend apart from Jesus Christ. God has so much he wants to give you. Why? He loves you. That's all it comes right down to that. God loves you. That'll never change. No matter what you do or don't do in this life, God loves you in his unconditional love. It says that we should be, listen, he saves us for a purpose, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trust in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom we also, after you believe, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnestness of our inheritance until redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In other words, the Holy Spirit, again, is our seal. He's the one that leads us to our relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. He comes in us and he seals us. That will is stamped and this can never be changed. That will can never be undone. When you trust Jesus as your Savior and you become a child of God, that can never change. That never can be undone because he did it. You didn't do it. He did it to start with, and he does it continually, and he will see it through to the end that you receive your inheritance. It's a part of the spiritual blessings. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance to the saints, and what is exceedingly greatness of his power towards usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand of the heavenly places. So again, I want you to hear, you have spiritual blessings. You've been blessed with eternal life. That's a part of your inheritance. You have the spiritual blessings that God desires to bestow upon you. But also, we have earthly vessels, blessings. That God blesses us here and now. We have an inheritance to the things that belong to him. And I'll quickly share this. It says, in Hebrews it says this, for God at sundry times and divers manners has spoken in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, having these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he have appointed heir, listen, has appointed Jesus heir. Now are we, the scripture says we are heir and joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did y'all hear that? So he's appointed him heir over all things, not some things, but all things, by whom he also made the worlds. We are joint heirs with Christ, and what belongs to him belongs to us. Someone says, when you invited Jesus into your heart, and he moved into your life, he moved in with everything he has. He moved into your life with everything he has. I've always told our daughters, when you marry and you leave, don't come back home. And don't bring extra with you. They know I'm kidding about that. Not really. But we have an inheritance that when we invite Christ into our lives, that we receive all these riches and things that belong to him. What is his is ours. I know it's hard to understand, but this is what I'm trying to understand. Who are you? As a child of God, that your identity is in Jesus. Who are you? You have a great inheritance. Live like that. Act like that. Be like that, that you are somebody, that you are a child of God, and all that is his is yours because you belong to him and he's purchased you with a price. We all are Christ. Didn't I, lastly, I told you it would be an hour and a half. Not only is our identity in Jesus and our inheritance is with him, but the scriptures points out too, I think very clearly, of our investment. Talks about our investment. For I consider that the sufferings of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So as we live life, we're investing. We're investing our life. Jesus is investing in us and investing our life. And the first thing I would like to say to you, God has invested in you through his Son Jesus. That's a part of your inheritance. He's invested in you. He's invested in the things that he's given to you. He's invested in you as a child of God to bring glory and honor to him. He's invested in your life. And it was no small thing. Jesus suffered and died on that cross for your and my sins. When I think about God's investment in life, I think about the parable of the talents, where Jesus gave the parable of the talents where the master, the lord of the house, took a trip and he left in charge. I want y'all to hear, he didn't give it to them. He gave them the responsibility. He gave one 5 talents, the scripture says. And he gave one 2 talents. Then he gave one. And he left and did his business. And when he came back, he wanted to have an accountability of the things that he had invested in their lives. First one says, Master, I took the 5 talents that you entrusted to me and I invested it. And I have 5 more talents. Good. A good, faithful servant. The one with 2 talents. Master, I took the 2 talents you entrusted to me. Same kind of responsibility. No matter if he had 5 or 2. And I invested them, and here are 2 more talents. Good. You've done good. You invested what I entrusted you with. The one that had 1 talent says, Master, he says, I know what such a harsh man that you are and how you deal with your business concerns. And so I took the 1 talent that you gave me, and I took it, and I hid it, and I buried it, and here it is. I saved it. In other words, I sat on it. In other words, I didn't do anything with it, and so here it is. It's back yours. He didn't see the responsibility that God had invested in him. His master had invested in him that 1 talent, just like he did the 1 with 5 and the 1 with 2, to use it in whatever way he saw fit and was led to do. And that talent was taken away from him and given to the 1 with the 5 talents. God is invested in your life. That's your identity. He's invested in your life, and you have a responsibility to him, accountability to him, and that investment. But he's invested the things. We are to invest in the things of God. That God has given us things that we need to invest in, godly things. Things that bring glory and honor to him. As we invest our lives and our family and our children and our church and our community and things around us, God's given us all these things to invest in them for his glory and his praise and his honor. Again, another parable that Jesus gave, he says, about the young prodigal son. And he came to his father and said, Father, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till you die. I want it now, and give it to me now. And he took the inheritance that the father gave to him, and the Bible says that he wasted his inheritance. He wasted that God had entrusted to him to use wisely, and he lost all because he wasted it. There's too many prodigals that's wasted the inheritance that God has trusted to us. God's entrusted to you an inheritance that he wants you to invest. He wants you to use it for his glory and praise and honor. Jesus tells us to lay up treasures in heaven and not on this earth, where moth and rust do destroy. We have internal investments, and God's invested in us. He wants us to invest in him. Let me just share a few things. How do we invest? Well, we invest in others, don't we? By our example. We invest by our example. My daughter and I were talking about this morning, but growing up, and Jennifer talked a little bit about your daddy being a brick mason, and some of the people that I know that he knew that trained me coming up and took a lot of time with me. They invested in my life. They took some time to invest. I was telling her about the people at our home church and how the men in that church took time with Becky and I, one particular family from Pennsylvania that took a lot of time with Becky and I, and they invested in us, their time, money too. And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful that they were just a sample how people had invested their lives in us. But we were to invest in others around us. We invest in our children. We invest in our grandchildren. We invest in our neighbors and our friends and all those around us. We're investing in others around us by living the life that God has called us to live. by serving Him and making Him known. We invest in others by using our time wisely. We invest in others by using our talents that God has entrusted to us. We invest in others by using whatever resources we have for God's glory and for the blessings of others. Folks, when we turn inward as individuals or as the body of Christ, if we fail to see that God has entrusted us such a great, rich heritage, and we have such a great inheritance, that we have so much that God has given to us, and when we turn that inward and not going out these doors throughout the highways and byways to share it with people that are so desperately in need of knowing what we know and blessing them with the inheritance that God has given to us through His Son, Jesus. Who are you? You're somebody as a child of God. You're a child of God. You can cry, Abba, Father. You have a great inheritance in Him, and He wants you to invest that in others for His glory, His praise, His honor. I wrote down in conclusion, are you living up to God's expectation of you as a child? Are you making your Father proud? Your Heavenly Father. Are you making your Heavenly Father proud? Is your faith and understanding filled with your inheritance? Do you know your inheritance? Are you faithful with that inheritance that God has trusted in you? May we pray. Father, thank you for your word today. God, it's my desire to understand in my own heart, my own life, what it means to be your child. For mine and eyes cannot fully understand or comprehend all that you are and all that you have and all that belongs to you and all that you desire to bless us with. But it's my desire, dear God, to invest my life in you and invest my life in others, to have a deeper understanding and appreciation of who I am in Jesus, that I'm a child of God and that I'm an heir and joint heir with you. It's my prayer here today that when people leave this place that they will understand and seek to know more deeply in that relationship with you what it means to be your child, what it means to know your inheritance, and to go out and give life our very best. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. It's my prayer, Lord, this morning, for that person that may be here that's never known their identity as a child of God. They've never opened their heart and said, Jesus, I want you into my life. They may feel your presence right now. They may feel your Holy Spirit speaking to them and drawing them unto you and encouraging them to open their hearts and their lives to you, to receive that wonderful gift of your salvation, to be blessed with the inheritance that you have for them. God, that they will lay this life down and trust the life that you have for them. God, if there's a child of God that's not been using the inheritance that you've trusted in them in a wisely manner, that they will come today with a renewness of heart to serve you and to use those things that you've blessed us with to serve you, to glorify you. Thank you now for what you're doing. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your power at work in our hearts. And we give you now the praise and the glory as you lead this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Will you come this morning as a child of God, or as one of God's creations, and receive Him into your life, recommit your life to Him, of your service to Him? Let us stand. You come as God leads you.